faithfulness of God. If anybody said even to me, why don't you devise a series of 7 sermons? I'd have probably said, oh, don't be daft, that's far too many. And then to spread them over like 14, 15, 16 weeks is even more ridiculous. But that's what I've done. And I think the reason is that as you grow older, you do have more evidence, don't you, of the faithfulness of God. The number of times when you say, well, yeah, actually, that was a really tough moment, but he was there. He kept me through. He held my hand. He was walking with me. And so I have no real apology for pursuing this idea over however many weeks it takes, that God is faithful with us, and the reason for that faithfulness is summed up in today's talk, faithful to complete the good work he has begun in us. And there are several assumptions here, of course. I don't know if you're familiar with the geyser Old Faithful in Yellowstone Park, America. It has an eruption height of about 106 to 185 feet. And its frequency is about somewhere between every 44 and 120 minutes since the year 2000. Anyway, it's just suddenly, erupted. This thermal jet of hot water. The reliability of Old Faithful is attributed to the fact that it's actually not connected to any other thermal features of the Upper Geyser Basin. So that's the only way out when the pressure builds up. Yet God is faithful to us every moment of every day. But what's the point? Why? Why would he want to be faithful with us? What is he aiming for? What is the purpose? What is this good work he hopes to complete? So there is, as I say, a threefold assumption here, that God has started a good work, and I have some very topical images here. So here are the roadworks in Chard, and it started. Something good is going to come, I promise you. He is working in me and you, as difficult as a path that may be, and he will see it through to the end. And apparently this is the artist's impression of what it's going to look like down the bottom of town when they've finished. I'm not going to talk about how in this picture it looks much flatter than it appears to me, the slope. But anyway, no, we're not talking about slopes, are we? So anyway, he started a good work. He's working in you and me, and he's going to see it through. So let's look at the first of these, first of all. God has started a good work. Let's see what starting a good work looks like. And we need some audio with this as well, please, Morris.
If you all just go away, please. I need to look presentable.
Feel like that, but it was my week to choose, and personally I enjoyed the Victorian wool experience.
Well, at least we spent some time together as a family.
And we certainly learned a lot about wool.
Did you have fun, Pumpkin?
It's Judy, and it was fine until you jumped in the lake.
It's a Victorian bathing pond, darling. It's what you're supposed to do.
Not naked.
Well, I forgot my costumes.
Jonathan, don't jump like that. 7% of childhood accidents start with jumping.
But if I'm going to be an astronaut...
Well, you're not going to be an astronaut.
You can be whatever you want, Peanut.
Oh, stranger danger.
What?
Keep your eyes down. There's some sort of bear over there. Probably selling something.
Good evening.
No, thank you.
Dear. Must be doing something wrong.
Hello there.
Mary.
Coming down in stairs, isn't it?
Yes.
Mum!
Oh. I hope you don't mind me asking, but shouldn't you be at home?
Oh, yes, I should. But I haven't quite worked out how to find one.
Well, where are your parents?
Oh, they died when I was small.
Here we go.
When I have left is my aunt.
Who is she?
Darkest Peru. In the home for retired beds.
Yeah, of course.
How did you get here?
I stowed away in a lifeboat.
Cool.
And ate marmalade. Did you know bears like marmalade?
I didn't even know bears at all.
Oh, well, I'm a very rare bear. There aren't many of us left.
And what are you going to do now?
Well, I thought I would probably just sleep over there in that bin.
That's the spirit.
Why don't we find you some help?
Oh, yes, please. If you're sure it's no trouble.
Of course it isn't. Is it, darling?
Not at all.
What could this good work be, and when did it start? Paddington's been trained to use sort of phrases, but is unaware of the correct context, hence his comment about it coming down in stair rods. He's been taught that's something, you know, they say in Britain, but he doesn't understand what it's about or when you might say that. But the moment Paddington met the Browns, his life began to change. Love, forgiveness, fellowship, a family, a sense of worth, because Paddington was wanted. You see, the moment God met us, or to be more precise, the moment we met God, our lives began to change. He started a good work in us. The encounter with Paddington took place just outside the Lost and Found office. And that's just where we were or are when God finds us. Outside the Lost and the Found office. So what are the good works we start, which soon peter out and falter? The things that we aim to achieve but don't seem to happen, whether it's weeding in the garden or saying we're going to make friends with a new neighbor or make a connection with somebody or even talk about the gospel. Jürgen Klopp implied it was impossible to be a Christian and not talk about it. How difficult I find that, personally. Billy Graham warned near the end of his life of what he called easy believism. He said, if people believe in God and do good works, they're going to heaven. This is easy believism, that it's just simple as that. Is salvation merely a case of being nice and kind and helpful? Or is there more to it than that? Tamala Turberville said, when Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, he knew his life was near the end. He held a special affection for the Philippian church. After all, he'd founded it nearly 10 years earlier. But now he writes to them expressing confidence in what? Well, not confidence in him. Not confidence actually in them, but confidence in God's continued work in their lives. I thank God every time I remember you. Your partnership in the gospel. You can't have a partnership unless everybody's involved and active and doing stuff. Although Paul was imprisoned and in chains, he writes to his friends encouraging them to rejoice whatever the circumstances. He'd heard the news of their disunity and the harassment they suffered because of their faith, yet his letter told them to rejoice always because he could see that God was at work in their lives. In verse 7, I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. This work was not always pleasant, facing physical persecution, the loss of personal freedom, hunger, uncertainty. But Paul wrote, wanting his friends to keep in mind that whatever they faced, whenever they faced it, God was using their circumstances to increase their strength and dependence on him. And ultimately, transform them to be like Jesus. In verse 9, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. everything. Everything that we face, the good, the bad, the uncertain, God is using. He is working in us and will complete his work. God began the good work, which means it's a process. Think of human processes like cake making, following a recipe, painting a picture, preparing a canvas, or even, say, the sewing bee, the program where they restore things people bring in. Repair shop. Thank you. See, I'm just making sure you're still awake. It's a process. It's a process. There aren't any magic wands, and just to prove there are other bears out there, all right? Here's Sooty. There aren't magic wands in Christ because we're all a work in progress, a work that God began, a work that God will continue and continue through us every moment of our lives. There isn't a moment when, if you like, we step through a door and we're told this is not a God moment. God is not with you in this room. God has left you behind. You're on your own in here. There was an earlier question that I posed. What are the good works we start which soon peter out and falter? Well, just think, this doesn't happen with God. There are no good works which peter out. There are no good works in God that falter. There is no work that is impossible. There are none of us who are too bad for him to work with, just as there are none of us who are too good that don't need working on. The good news is, that's the end of that bit, but the bad news is there are two more sermons to come. So we're going to sing now, Never Once, standing on this mountaintop. Looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us, never once. So, God working in me. What is that like? What is that transformation like? Is that a nice process? Is it something elegant to behold, like a masterpiece? Or is it something a bit more scratchy?
Oh, yes, that is good.
What's your name? Do bears even have names?
Of course we do. My name is...
Beg your pardon? Right.
Well, go on. You try it. Look at the throat. Mr. Brown, that is extremely rude.
Oh, at last.
Wait for me. There's someone coming to get him.
Everyone's gone for the night. He'll just have to come home with us.
No way.
But Dad!
Jonathan, stay where you are.
He's so embarrassing.
We can't just leave him here.
Of course we can. He's not our responsibility.
He's a young bear, needs our help, Henry.
Then where's that?
It's just for one night. Until we can find the right people to look after him.
Sometimes, like Paddington, we don't look or we don't sound very appealing. And yet God knows our name and can say it correctly. He knows our name perfectly. He never gets it wrong, which can't always be said of us. Our behaviors are frequently embarrassing, but never to Christ. Never to Christ. So what is he doing? What is Jesus doing? Hebrews 13:21 says, "Now the God of peace equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Why is it then that so often, rather than feeling at peace, we feel more like a sickly combative, facing overwhelming odds, difficulties with finance, inadequate time, a complete abject failure of expertise, relational friction? Each of us is, after all, merely a lump of clay. Yet Jesus is forming us, transforming us, renewing us, enabling us through every movement and moment. He's forming us into what he created each of us for. The problem is, are we meldable? Are we moldable? Or have we already become hardened? Have we already become fixated on what we should become, what we want to be, what we think we deserve to be? Are we too hard to change? Are we prepared to be bendable, malleable in any direction? Because even during these difficult times, God is patient and is continuing to work things out for his purpose. 1 Peter 5:10, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Steadfastness is the one that's really difficult, isn't it? We flip-flop and change and vary, and one minute we do, you know, we say this and then we do something else, and we're just a complete hodgepodge of, you know, things that don't match up. This lifelong process, this transformation, as is typical in the church, has a long word. We're really talking about sanctification. And if I said to you I'm going to do a sermon on sanctification, you'd have probably all made an exit for the door, you know, because we don't like long words. The verb sanctify literally means to set apart for a special use or purpose. So sanctification refers to that state or process of being set apart, being made holy, full of the Holy Spirit of God. I can't do that myself. You can't do that yourself. The Holy Spirit's work of setting believers apart to be made holy is what it's about, being made like God. What an amazing thought. Sanctification is really a threefold process. At the moment of salvation, at the moment we say, "I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior," we enter what technically is called positional sanctification. Some will unfortunately fall by the wayside because they think this is the one and only Christ meeting point. That's the moment I meet Christ and then I can do what I like. Or, you know, that was in the past. That happened when I was a child, perhaps. Or that was when I was confirmed, or when I was christened, or when I was baptized. Our living testimonies should be just that, though, a lifelong series of tales and recollections where we can say, "God was here, God was with me." This is because after positional sanctification comes progressive sanctification, the second phase in which God, who's begun this good work at us, in us, at salvation, continues to change us, transform us, rework us to be more like him. From the moment God begins his good work in us until the day of its completion, the Holy Spirit is chipping away, renovating our character. Like renovating a Victorian house, it seems to be a lifetime's work. And like the bear drinking from the teapot, Christ remakes us, remolds us, creating us anew, even if it's not a very pleasant-looking process. Jesus longs to change us to be more like him. God will see this through to the end. And if you know the story of Paddington Bear, you will know that Mr. Brown was always quite ambivalent about having a bear come home. Mrs. Brown was the prime mover for wanting to make it happen. And of course, far from staying one night, Paddington stayed a lot longer. But it wasn't always an easy process. And there must have been times when he felt like giving up. We don't always get things right, do we? Even when we think we do get things right. And like Paddington, we often just try to plow on regardless, getting further into trouble rather than getting out of it. And then, as an understatement, we say, I'm having a spot of difficulty. The Christian walk is a pathway of ongoing growth. It's a journey that brings us ever closer to God until his work in us is perfect and complete on the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Christ's return, when we will see him in fullness. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Colossians 3:4. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Make you perfect. Make you whole. Make your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. It's the paraphrase from the message, but I love the emphasis. If he said it, he'll do it. This is the third phase. This is complete sanctification. Right at the beginning of this series, we talked about pathways. We have a choice to make which pathway we follow, but the pathway of Christ is ongoing growth. The verb in this part of the passage is a continual verb, continual work, ongoing. There isn't a point where we can say, well, that's it, I'm done now, and I'm perfect, and I can rest, live the rest of my earthly life regardless, or whatever. You know, I have to admit, sometimes this might feel frustrating. You know, God always putting the finishing touches on the work, chipping away at us. Sometimes I wish he'd leave me alone. Can't I just carry on where I am? It would be so much easier. The encouragement is the exact opposite, because God is not about to leave us where we are. We have a God that loves us enough not to allow us to remain stuck in the mud or the bathtub. In Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. God, who began a good work in us, will continue the work until it is finished. There are many things in my day that go uncompleted. And sometimes when I think about my own growth and recovery, I wonder, actually, if any progress has been made at all. Am I even headed in the right direction? But God says he will keep chipping away at me. He will keep molding me until his work within me is indeed finished. It's hard to wrap one's head around being finished, but God's word says one day I will be a finished masterpiece in his eyes. God is, you know, working on a clock but it's a clock we don't know about. He alone knows when his work will come to an end, and on that day there will be no, well, that will do, or a last-minute touch-up. We will be perfected and ready to worship Jesus for eternity. The clay he began with, sometimes hardened and unmoldable with no vision for a final sculpture, isn't going to get stuck in an incomplete creation. God has a plan for us. God has a vision for our lives. And he isn't going to walk away and forget the purpose for which he created us. God is faithful to finish the good work within us, finally realized upon his return and second coming, a time when God's work will come to an end, and that should give us every reason to rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. I started this final talk by saying that, you know, God has started a good work, God is working in me, and God will see this through to the end. This is guaranteed by the faithfulness of God, this whole series. Faithful in his promises. Faithful to all generations. Faithful to guard us against evil and difficulties along the way. Faithful in his love, as difficult as some of those times and circumstances may be. Faithful in our temptations. And from temptation, faithful to forgive when we get things wrong. And inevitably, faithful to complete the good work he has begun in us. We began this whole series many, many weeks ago with one simple object, the Lego brick. And I talked about all those different connectives. And when we come full circle back to that image, God's connectives, which hold us safe and secure in his arms, never giving up on us, always desiring the best for us, always taking us further on with him, making the connections which break the chains which would otherwise bind us. Last Sunday, Charles talked about ascension and Ascension Day. What if there'd been no ascension? What if Christ had risen but stayed on earth? What if God had decided to stop the story early, not to complete his plans through Jesus? It's unthinkable. It's not possible. The whole message of the Christian gospel would be torn apart. Well, likewise, it's impossible not to realize that God is faithful to complete the good work he has begun in us, in me, and in you. A work that longs to lead us on and turn us from what we are into what he wants us to be. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we're sorry for the times when we just run in the opposite direction as you long to bring us closer to you. Help us, Lord, to just stand still and turn to face you, to open our arms towards you, that we may be embraced by your love and the power of your Holy Spirit through your redemptive grace. Amen.